Good morning. And a happy Mother's Day, and prayers of support and love to all of the experiences of being a mother that are both joyful and grief-filled and everything in between. So know that we love and support you on this day. This week, I took the very exciting drive from here to Topeka on I-70 for a meeting over there, and I, as I usually do, listened to a podcast. Some of you might have heard this podcast. The topic was ignorance. Actually, specifically, the topic was the value of ignorance, whether it has any. There are some things in life, of course, that are better that we don't know. Our ex's best friend's opinion of us, maybe. The time we will die. Just how incompetent we might be or might not be. Some of these things are just better to not know. So is ignorance bliss? Can it be? Is that a true statement? One of the ways the host of this podcast set out to explore this topic was by telling a story of a family who mostly lived here, but whose grandmother lived in China. This grandmother was coming to the realization, actually she wasn't, that she was being diagnosed with a very progressive cancer. So in China, a relative receives those results, and it was up to that relative to give results to the person who was being diagnosed. So here they go, and the doctors give it to this woman's sister, who decides that she's not going to tell the woman. She calls her relatives here in the States and says, what do we do? How are we going to spend our final days, months, weeks with her? They staged this big party, a sort of fake party, actually, and it's sort of all couched in joy, but really they're all just saying goodbye. The understanding was that if she was told that she was sick, it would actually hasten her death. And if she didn't know, then she would just live on. And I think that she was actually still alive as of the telling of the podcast. So is ignorance a good thing? I don't know. Another way the host explores this question is to seek an answer to the question, is it possible for us to be aware of how much we aren't aware of? Is that a possible task for our minds to comprehend? It's sort of a complicated question. I've spent like 5 days with it in my brain right now, and I'm a little bit lost in some sort of rabbit hole, so don't go there too far if you can help it. But these two psychologists tried to measurably demonstrate whether we can know how much we don't know. They came up with something called the Dunning-Kruger effect, and some of you might know that, but if not, look it up. It's the bias, it's a measure of the bias that says we frequently say that we know more than we really do. That's a common experience, and we aren't really aware of how much we don't know. I hadn't really heard of this specific effect before, or really even considered the topic, but it kept coming back to me as I spent time with our gospel lesson for today. Taken from the 17th chapter of the Gospel of John, this is the end of something called the Farewell Discourse in John. If you have one of those red-letter Bibles, you would have seen Jesus talking for like 25 pages by now. He's been talking for a long time. And he has a lot to say to the world. And by the time we arrive at our passage for today, he's praying and addressing his words to God. In the first part of our chapter, Jesus prays for his disciples. And in the second part, our particular section, Jesus prays for future generations, for the church, for the community of the faithful, but he also prays for those who yet have not believed. He knows the faith of the disciples, his faith that he has taught them, will continue. And he knows that this work needs to be lifted up to God, and so he does. In addition to praying for his disciples, Jesus prays for those who do not yet believe. He says, I ask not only on behalf of these, but also on behalf of those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one. Jesus knows that not only will the church and the faith he gave to them continue on, but he also knows that those who do not believe will always be a reality of life, Actually, Jesus probably knows this better than all of us, right? He was put to death by some of those people who would not listen to what he had to say. So combine these two sort of ideas in my head with the gospel lesson for today, that podcast I talked about, and my week was centered on this question. Would it be easier, would it be better to go through life being one who just hasn't heard the good news of Jesus Christ? Can ignorance of that be bliss? This isn't the first time this question has come to my mind, to be honest. I mean, I believe because of my faith that every single person has value. I believe because of my faith that each situation and moment of life, from the individual to the communal to the worldwide, can be redeemed and will be redeemed. I believe that in Jesus Christ we see that hope is abundant even when all else says to despair and to give up. I believe that we are called to not ignore those who society ignores, that we are called to open our eyes and hearts to situations and experiences of life that are difficult to see. And I believe that we are called to be uncomfortable for the sake of others. I believe that forgiveness and love are the posture with which we encounter one another on this path of life, and they're the lens through which we see the world and our neighbors. And I know that I'm not the only one that believes that. So many of all of us do in some way or another also. You and we act out our faith in this community all the time, serving those in need. We rejoice when there are times of joy. We are sad and we grieve with each other when those moments hit also. To live out our faith, to believe these things, to live in such a way that shows forth what we believe, to have our lives changed in this way is hard. Wouldn't it just be easier to not know? The messages we hear in this world say the opposite of what I just talked about. We see others living a more simplified, seemingly less messy life, and we may want that. It is something of our human nature to seek our own gain, to seek our own happiness. To be people of faith is to expose our eyes and our hearts to things in this world that perhaps we wish we wouldn't have to be compelled to action in moments that would just be easier to ignore. So to be called to live in a way that is counter-cultural, counter to self, is a very difficult way to live. But to answer my question from earlier, no. No, I don't believe life is easier or better or something like that, having not heard the good news of Jesus Christ. But you might have thought I was going to say that, right? I am a priest, and I think I have to. Kidding. I really do believe it. But I don't believe it because though life may seem easier or better or whatever you want to call it, I believe it because I know that the hopes, the promises of God to love, to forgive, to show mercy, endure more than the world's promises that will fail. And to work to bring about this reality of God's promises on earth, though it may seem difficult, is where we most encounter God in our lives. And God's promises, they aren't just for you and I. Jesus' prayers that all will be brought into unity with both him and God the Father. That idea of unity seems sort of impossible right now, doesn't it, in our world? But when this unity is achieved, perhaps at the end, Jesus says, then the world will know the love of God. Then the world will know that God loves them just as God loves his only son. So these two things then are our call, to work to make known the promises of love and mercy and hope for all people, and to do our part to bring into one, to break down the divisions that divide people. For when we do, we reveal to the world the glory of God. We reveal to the world that God has moved in our lives. Every day I get, some of you might get this also, a little 2 to 3 word reflection from the Society for St. John the Evangelist, Episcopal Monastery in Cambridge, Massachusetts. The reflection is called, Brother, Give Us a Word. And Brother Curtis Almquist wrote on Friday in the email that I got, Glory is to teem with God's light and life and love. It's to draw from the deepest waters of life how the psalmist prays, For you are the well of life, and in your light we see light. The gospel writers speak of glory as if someone were simply luminous, irradiated with God's light and life and love. May our lives radiate to the world and to all people the light and life and love of God. The world needs to know it. It would be better that they know.